Today's presenter is Dave Draeger. Dave is the IBM Guided Activity Assistant, Team Lead, and member of the WebSphere Serviceability Development Team out of Rochester, Minnesota. As Team Lead, Dave coordinates the direction of IGAA in combination with other IBM problem determination tools. Dave makes sure that IGAA continues to help customers solve problems themselves quickly. Through the IGAA work, Dave also drives enhancements into existing tools and IBM products, making it easier for customers to accomplish the goals using IBM solutions. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Dave.
Thank you, Elijah. And just to add to what Elijah was saying, as I work in my role here as the team lead, I also get to work with customers on SWOT engagements where we go out and work directly with those customers, and we bring a lot of that information back and put it into this tool. So hopefully you guys will get a lot out of this tool. And so let's go ahead and look at the presentation. So looking at slide number 2, let's talk about the agenda or what we're going to go over today. So I want to start out with an overview of the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. To do that, I wanted to usually start with this typical scenario that I hear as I work with customers or look at PMRs that were open, and we analyze that and try and put solutions back into this tool. Then we'll go into some details about what the IBM Guided Activity Assistant is and give you some of that information. How can it help you? We'll take a look at different scenarios and different features of the tool that are designed to help you as the end user of this tool. We'll take a look at the latest version of IGAA, which is 3.1, and talk about what features it has as it was released late last year. And we'll also take a look at some of the topics or workflows within the IBM Guided Activity Assistant that are designed to work you through specific scenarios and help you troubleshoot them. Then we'll look at one of those specific scenarios or an example of using IGAA to go through a troubleshooting topic. And lastly, we'll look at some of the resources available for IGAA to give you additional information and help you understand at a deeper level how IGAA can help you. So let's take a look at slide number 3. On slide number 3, we see this typical scenario. And this is common for things I've heard as I've worked with customers or talked with people at conferences or, like I said, looked at different PMRs and did some analysis on those things. So we hear something like, I'm starting to get this blank page. Well, that's not right. When I try and load up my web page and there's this strange error message. It says out of memory. Okay, great, that's good to know, but what do I do with that? And maybe I'm a new administrator or a new user, and I haven't done much troubleshooting before. So what should I do? Where do I find more diagnostic information, and what do I do with it? Boy, I sure wish IBM would provide some tools to help me diagnose this error I'm seeing. It looks like WebSphere application server generated some of these crazy heat dump files, and what are these heat dump files? And well, let me look at it in Notepad. Maybe it's a text file, and I try and open that up, and it's just all gibberish. It's all binary files. So okay, now what do I do with it? So I'm really stuck. Well, maybe I can go out and Google for an answer. Maybe something will help me out there. So that's a typical scenario that we see that starts out. People are frustrated. They don't know what to do, where to go, and so we want to help provide a tool to guide you through these scenarios and take you step by step through it. So let's take a look at slide number 4. IBM Guided Activity Assistant is that tool. It's been designed from the ground up to provide information that's available to really point you to that information when you need it. It also introduces additional tools that IBM has available for customers to help them work through these scenarios. We have a fair amount of free tools that we recommend you go through and leverage as you work through these scenarios. And also, we try and encapsulate the processes. So as we have our SWAT teams go out and engage or our support teams work with customers, we try and encapsulate that process and introduce it to you here early on in this tool so that you're familiar with that process. You can work through that process on your own. And then if you would happen to have to engage IBM support beyond using this tool, again, we're all in sync as to the process that we'll be going through. And so this tool is designed to help customers and IBMers themselves solve these problems and do it in a very consistent manner and in a step-by-step process. So let's take a look at slide number 5. On slide number 5, we talk about some of the information that is available or that you're guided to with the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. So early on, I remember in my career that we didn't have a lot of information, but over the years, IBM's been continually developing a lot of this information and made it available for customers. So we've got tech notes, there's red books that are available, there's educational videos on the IBM Education Assistant, you've got the info centers. A lot of information is available. And that's a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. You know, at 2 in the morning when your pager goes off, that's really not the time. You want to sit down and crack open this 500-page red book to see if that can help you solve your problem that you were paged out to try and solve. So the IBM Guided Activity Assistant tries to only show you that information or point you to the exact tech note or the exact page in the red book if you need this additional information to help you understand why we're taking you down a step that we're taking you down. So let's look at slide number 6. On slide number 6, it also shows how the IBM Guided Activity Assistant tries to introduce the appropriate tools to use when you're troubleshooting. So some examples we have on this page are the memory dump diagnostic tool for Java, the pattern modeling and analysis tool, the thread analyzer tool, and there's many other tools that are available through the IBM Support Assistant, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but there's many tools available through the IBM Support Assistant that are free downloads that are specifically pointed out in these guided troubleshooting flows that are there to help you for these specific scenarios that we've developed these workflows for. So again, you don't have to try and figure out, you know, what tool should I use at this point, or I know as I worked in conferences before, I'll always ask the people in the audience, you know, how many people have even heard of some of these tools? A lot of people don't even know that these tools are out there and that they exist, let alone when they should use them. You know, what data is the tool designed to analyze? How do I analyze that? You know, how do I then take a look at those analysis results and actually, you know, determine something from them? So we try and help you with all those aspects of it. Let's take a look at slide number 7 now. And the last part of that overall kind of combination of features is the process itself. What steps do we recommend you go through? There's an overarching process that the IBM Guided Activity Assistant tries to apply to all of the different workflows it goes through, and you'll see that in the examples that we have in some later slides here. But it typically involves, you know, identifying the proper symptoms, collecting the appropriate data based on those symptoms that you're seeing, analyzing that data, taking that analysis results, trying to determine a root cause based on those results you've gotten, and then also going through and applying a solution and finally validating it. So you'll see that in practice as we look at some of those examples later. And throughout that process, we also introduce other pieces such as, you know, recommended search terms for the type of scenarios you're working down. And we may, you know, link you out to, here's an example where we've linked you out to some of the developer work searches for some articles, or perhaps searching the appropriate IBM support website for some known fixes or APARs. So we try and introduce all these pieces of that support process at the right time to hopefully reduce the time it takes you to try and solve that problem. So let's look at slide number 8. So as we look at slide number 8, let's kind of take a look at how we go about doing this. What you can see here is the process we use to actually develop some of these workflows and how the IBM Guided Activity Assistant shows you those workflows or this recommended process. So you can see on the left here we have a modeled workflow, and this is how we kind of author this content, is we will first develop the workflow of known steps that make up the appropriate task that we're trying to have you go through, And, you know, making sure that at a high level we can see that we're handling all the scenarios that we know of and that we're taking you through the right options when they're appropriate. Then on the right side, you see how we've taken those high-level workflows and actually turned them into the individual pages that you as a user will actually see as you go through this process. And the different choices you see on the top are indicative of the number of options that have been modeled and the different workflows that you could potentially go through. And so those turn into the actual single steps and single pages that you as the end user see as you go through this process. So let's look at slide number 9. Here I wanted to start going into a little bit more detail about some of the philosophies and some of the pieces of the IBM Guided Activity Assistant and why we built them the way we did and how they're there to help you. So, you know, one of our guiding things is saving you time, right? We want to reduce the time to resolution on a lot of these problems. And to do that, we wanted to, again, introduce the appropriate tool that you can use to help, you know, save the time. Sometimes we'll show you a manual step if there is no tool that exists. But typically, by having you leverage an existing tool, we've saved you 5, 10, who knows how many steps based on the scenario that you're going down. And so when we have these tools available, we want to introduce them to you as quickly as possible and help you get started using those tools. You don't have to figure out, you know, where do I go to get this tool, how do I download it and install it, and what data do I need to use to interact with the tool, how do I read the analysis results. You'll see that information as you approach it in each of these workflows that you go through. And then we try and make it as simple as possible. And typically that is within a couple of button clicks, you can get that tool launched and analyzing your files instead of, you know, writing a bunch of command line stuff or working through and trying to, you know, work with someone from support and trying to understand the process to install that tool. So as you work with the IBM Guided Activity Assistant, we try and be that framework around these existing other frameworks with ISA and the tools involved in that to make it easy for you to interact with them and learn about those tools. And once you've learned about what tool to use and when to use it, you know, then you can bypass some of this stuff and go directly to that tool because you've already learned about it and you're aware of when to use it, et cetera. And another piece that you see on this screenshot is only showing you that information that is relevant to the situation. So a lot of times you'll see what we call these expandable sections on the page. It's a simple little plus or minus symbol on it. When you click it, it opens up a paragraph or more of information that may be relevant to you as a novice user or just providing you extra details or steps for that specific page that you're on. And if you need that information, it's a single click away. If you don't want it and you don't want to see a cluttered page, well, that stuff is typically collapsed. Or you can even set your own preferences to never expand that information by default or always have that information expanded by default, whatever you prefer to see that information that's available to help you make an educated decision for the page that you're on. So let's look at slide number 10 now. On slide number 10, we dive into more of our philosophy of we want to guide you first, so help you go through these flows as quickly as possible to get to the root cause of your situation and help you resolve it. But at every step of the way, or perhaps after you've solved your problem and you want to go back and understand why we've chosen or given you the options that we gave you at each step of the way, we have this additional information. And typically that will link you out to these, you know, more detailed red books, more detailed technical documents like tech notes or tech docs, specific pages within the information centers, et cetera, to give you that background information of why we chose or why we suggested that you go down certain paths or made those options available to you. And again, you can easily access that information, click on those hyperlinks, and get the extra detail that you need as you go through this process. Let's look at slide number 11 now. One of the other philosophies of this tool is to help you stay organized. So there's not a lot of tools out there that, you know, help you with this overall process that's involved in troubleshooting. There's a lot of things that are involved, whether it be collecting diagnostic files, taking notes about what you've seen in your analysis results, or perhaps there's just a strange symptom that you've seen. You're like, well, this always seems to happen at 6 p.m. I'm not sure why, but I just wanted to make a note of that so that if you would hand this off to someone else or just come back to it later yourself, you have these kind of details in this analysis or these notes that help you understand, you know, the details about the problem you're trying to solve. In addition to that, we also capture some case history. So as you take step by step by step through this process, we record those steps that you've taken. And so, again, if you have to come back to this, you can already see, oh, yeah, what did I do with this, you know, last week when I was working on it? I can go back and say, oh, yeah, I already ran this tool, and I, you know, looked at this data, and I can see that I've done that in my case history. In addition to that, if you would have to export this or hand it over to someone else to pick up where you left off, they can quickly look at the case history and understand what steps you've already gone through, so they're not wasting their time duplicating steps that you've already accomplished. So let's look at slide number 12 now. On slide number 12, I actually show you how you can do that sharing of cases. So we have a couple of different buttons that are available, and the first one is being able to export this case. So with a single click, you can go ahead and say, yes, I want to export this case, and what happens is it takes all the information, all the files, the notes that you had taken, the history, all that information, and jars it up, puts it into a single zip/jar file that you can then, you know, email to someone or put on another server for them to get to, and they can then take that file and turn around and import it. So they simply hit import, browse to that jar file that was created, and go ahead and import that case into their IBM Guide Activity Assistant, and now they can resume that case and pick right up where you left off. Look at the history, you know, read the notes that you had already created, look at the files and analysis results that were already generated, and now pick up right where you left off. So let's look at slide number 13. This slide gives a bigger screenshot. All those other ones were a little bit smaller and potentially harder to read. This is the kind of overview screenshot of what you see when you're working with the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. So again, here on the left, you have what we call these quick views. They're not necessarily there specifically to help you choose how to solve problems, but they're there to help that overall process of troubleshooting. So you can see at the very top, we have our list of saved cases. Whether you've imported them or created them yourselves, you can go ahead and look at the list of cases that you've been working with. You can resume them by selecting the case and hitting the resume button, or delete them if you're done with them, or export them, again, if you have to hand them off to someone else, or even if you need to hand them off to IBM support. And also import them if you have gotten them from another colleague or another resource. Right below that, you have what we call this case metadata. Simply, when you create a brand new case in the IGAA, it asks for the case name, and if you want to enter additional metadata, such as, you know, what do you believe the problem source is from, like, well, this is typically happening on our production server named, you know, server 5, and, you know, what time was the problem detected, when was the last time that this case was saved, that's automatically generated. You know, what were some of the initial symptoms? If you want to enter that information in, we have some fields available for you to enter that in. Below that, you have the case files, where, again, you can add in specific files that are requested as you go through this process, whether it be a heap dump file or verbose GC information files, et cetera. You can add those into your case. And that makes it much easier for you to launch the tools against those files and interact with them. The case notes are below that, and the case history is below that. And lastly, we also have a glossary kind of quick view, which, again, is just there for reference to make sure that we're both on the same page when you see different terminologies in these workflows. In the upper right, or with the red dotted box around it, that is the primary kind of wizard area. If you're an advanced user or you kind of understand the process and you just wanted a reminder, you can quickly go through those steps up there by, you know, clicking the appropriate radio button and hitting next. Very quick, move right through, and helps you go through that process. If you're a little bit confused about which path you should take, again, you'll see those plus and minus little blue boxes behind some of those path choices. And you can expand that to get just a little bit more, like a paragraph or less of information that may be enough to help you decide what path you should go through. And if that doesn't quite help you answer the question of which radio button you should select, the area in the lower right or the green boxed area gives you those detailed textual information, links out to other information that can help you make the choice at that point in time. So let's look at slide number 14. Slide number 14 is just some extra information that helps you understand where we're at with the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. And in version 3.1, we've turned from a tech preview product into a fully supported product. And we released that on the IBM Support Assistant platform version 3. And so that includes 3.02 and 3.1. We run on both of those platforms that are available today. Some of the things we've already talked about, but just kind of to rehash over, is we have that case management included in that version. So, again, you can work with all the different aspects of the case management. We've customized that user interface, and we leverage the Dojo kind of open source project, which has a lot of collaboration with IBM. And so you'll see that even though we're in this ISA environment, we have a web-based kind of interface, and but you can do the same types of things you would expect in a rich environment like drag and drop. You can actually move those quick views. If you don't like them on the left where we have them by default, you can go ahead and drag it by grabbing the blue title bar and dragging it over to the right. Or if you don't want to see them at all, you can close them down by hitting the little X box that we have at the top of those. And so you'll see some of that interactivity in that user interface. We've also provided internationalization support. In version 3.1, you won't see any translated content, but we did the work to make that translated. And you'll actually see some translated content in our next release, which will be coming out fairly soon. And we have a multi-platform / browser support. So, you know, did the testing with Linux and Windows and IE and Firefox. And so we should have you covered from the primary types of OSs and browsers. But again, if we're missing something, please let us know. And we'll talk about a feedback mechanism in a later slide here. And as I mentioned earlier, we've done work to integrate with the appropriate tools, PMAT, MDE4J, Threat Analyzer, et cetera. And as you see more tools introduced in ISA, you'll see more flows that leverage those tools, when to leverage them, how to do it, et cetera. And then you'll also see pieces within those flows where we're leveraging the services of the IBM Support Assistant itself. So IBM Support Assistant has a great federated search, or a way to enter one search key word in, and it will search multiple IBM websites and even Google. So you don't have to go to each of those places separately. In your own browser, you can do it once in ISA. A little bit of AutoPD or kind of collector. ISA also helps you gather up some information if you do need to open a PMR, and we have a little bit of integration with that, and you'll see more of that down the road. And how much does this whole thing cost? It's free. You know, we want to help you guys solve your problems, and so we don't want to, you know, have you pay for something that you're already frustrated with trying to solve your problems. So, let's look at slide number 15. Slide number 15 gives you a quick overview of the different types of workflows we have available in the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. So, as we look at the very first one, we have what we call this phase one problem determination. So, this is a situation where you really are very confused about what type of problem you're seeing. You know, it may be something as simple as, well, I have a blank page. Well, there's a million reasons why you could potentially be getting a blank page from your application. And so we're trying to help you go from that blank page and look at a few kind of phase one things that may help point to a specific component within your environment that you can then do more detailed analysis with to see if that truly is the component that's causing a problem. So we try and take you through this filtering process, also looking at rediscovery types of things. So, you know, doing the appropriate searches against IBM to see if this is a known issue and there's already a fix out there that you can apply without going through a very, very detailed analysis process. If you do get into some of that more detailed analysis process, we help you go through those steps. So we typically have a lot of Java type of situations that we want to help you through and help you understand what tools are available. So typically we'll see an out of memory or a hang or a crash situation, and we'll help you go through and analyze those scenarios. HTTP server, WebSphere, application server, system management or security or J2EE, or just released earlier this week is web container troubleshooting to make it available to help you understand if you have a web container problem. And much more is on the way, and we're definitely looking for your feedback. Are we missing certain pieces that you'd really like to see, both within WebSphere and other products within IBM? So let's look at slide number 16. On slide number 16, here's how you can get that information back to us to understand, you know, do you want new features in the IBM Guided Activity Assistant? Is there different content sets that you would like to see, et cetera? Here's how you can provide that direct feedback. We have a feedback link that is available at the top menus of the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. When you click that link, it pops up a little form that you'll see here, which provides an optional entry for your email and name. Again, optional. If you don't want to send it, that's fine. If you would like to send it because you potentially would like some responses to that, you can do that, and we'll try and get to it if possible. As far as being able to respond to you, we definitely read every single one of them, but we can only respond to certain ones as we have time. And so, and you can optionally include basic information. So after you've entered your comment in or your question, you can hit OK, and it will actually look at your system and say, you know, what browser are you using? We want to understand, you know, are people typically using IE or Firefox and what version, so that we can make it more compatible and with the systems that you guys are using. Now, you don't have to send that information in, and we won't force you to send that information in. You're given an option then to just send your comment or to also send all that information in. So that's up to you whether you would like to do that or not. But, again, we look forward to your feedback to help it make to make this product better. So let's look at slide number 17. On slide number 17, just quick title here that I want to go through this example. And the example I'm going to show you here is our typical kind of Java out-of-memory troubleshooting and how we go through that process. So let's look at slide number 18. So the first part of that process, again, is kind of that filter, right? Determine what type of component you're seeing this potential problem in. And so we want to take you through that, you know, what have we at IBM typically seen that ended up pointing to this specific type of component. And like I said, whether it be a blank page or strange results coming back from the system or even just the first indications of a type of a problem, we want to help you look at that and take you down to the appropriate component. So let's look at slide number 19. After looking at that and making an initial decision on what component you believe is causing that problem based on the information we had you look at, now IGAA helps you verify that you're kind of at the right next step by looking at for concrete symptoms. So not to say that a blank page isn't a concrete symptom, but it's still very vague. And once we get you down to kind of a suspect area, we can say, okay, now typically if it was a problem in this specific area, you would see this type of concrete symptom, which typically ends up being a specific type of error message in specific logs. And so we'll help you identify those logs, look at those logs, and look for these specific types of error message. Or sometimes it's actually where the system has generated some additional diagnostic files because it had detected this problem. So with a JVM problem, sometimes you'll see an automatically generated heap dump or a Java core or a certain type of interaction or a certain type of characteristic like the time it takes to do garbage collection increases over time, or the frequency. All of those start to turn into more concrete symptoms for specific problems that we can help you work through. And if none of those symptoms end up, you know, you're not actually able to see one or more of those symptoms, well, you may want to explore alternate paths. So before we take you through this huge process of, you know, looking at different types of problems and really drilling into the issue, we'll say, well, if you're not seeing these, you know, you probably aren't seeing this problem. Or if you are, it may be a tougher problem to solve than what we have the information for. So we don't want to take you through a lot of stuff if you're not starting to see some of these concrete symptoms. So let's look at slide number 20 now. On slide number 20, we then take you through determining what is the best diagnostic data to take a look at. So you kind of have a good idea of what component you're ready to troubleshoot, and typically you have a few different options as to what diagnostic data is available for you to collect. Sometimes that information was automatically generated, and you want to say, oh, well, let me go ahead and just leverage that, take a look at what was automatically generated, and go ahead and, you know, run the appropriate tools against it. And you don't have to take time to either turn on extra diagnostic tracing or try and recreate that problem. You may already have the data you need, and so we'll help you identify that data and help you go through those first steps of taking a look at that information. So let's look at slide number 21. On slide number 21, we help you then collect that appropriate data. And so typically that means copying a file over from your production server or looking at extra information that was already gathered. And we want to help you stay organized with that. So if you remember some of those earlier slides, that's one of our goals, is to help you stay organized. Because I've worked with different scenarios where, you know, a customer has been working with support and they've sent in some of the initial diagnostic data that was maybe auto-generated, or the first time the problem happened, they collected that data, and then they were asked to recreate that situation and see if a problem still occurs, or, you know, you just needed extra diagnostic information. And when they turned around to send that information back into IBM support, it ended up being the wrong information, or it was the same information that they had sent in the first time. And so they just didn't have an organization process to go ahead and make sure that you're keeping those sets of data separated as you go through, you know, your first failure data and then maybe your recreated data and et cetera, as you go through those separate processes. So we want to help you stay organized, and we can help you do that by first grouping those sets of files together and then going ahead and letting you upload that information into this system, and you can see that it's available in those case files quick view. And once you have that information into the system, then we make it much easier for you to launch the appropriate tools against those files and pass them to the tool without you having to understand how the deep details of that tool work. So let's look at that on slide number 22. So now that we've collected all the data, we're ready to go ahead and recommend a tool that you can use to analyze that data. So here you can see on the page, we make it very easy. You simply click the big button that talks about launching the recommended tool, and we'll pop up a little dialog that asks you to select the appropriate file, and you'll usually see what file we recommend below that tool or in the detailed information. And then you can go ahead and select that file and hit OK, and we'll pass that file into the tool, launch the tool, kick off the tool's analysis process. And eventually, once the tool is complete, then you'll see typically a scenario a summary table or set of information of what that tool thinks the problem is, if there is one that it has found with that diagnostic information. It will tell you then, okay, you know, look at this section of the table, and does it indicate specific problems that you weren't aware of or that you didn't know were occurring, and so you have an idea of the types of problems that the diagnostic data is trying to tell you about. So let's look at slide number 23. After you've gone ahead and run those tools, now you want to take all that analysis information and try and see if there's kind of a known root cause based on those analysis results. So you can go through, and we'll help you then say, okay, if you saw this type of, you know, symptom or this type of analysis result with tool X, and you saw this type of analysis result with tool Y, that typically means that you're seeing this type of root cause. And we'll go through all those scenarios, and you can pick one. And, you know, none of those actually help you out. You may be experiencing a problem that is, you know, a little bit harder to troubleshoot than what we have content for. So after you've determined what that root cause is, let's look at slide number 24. And there's usually a pretty direct correlation between the root cause and the appropriate solution. So we go ahead and introduce to you, you know, we'll describe, you know, what that root cause means and say, oh yeah, and because you're seeing this, here are the steps, or here is the fix, or here is the, you know, process you need to go through to solve and resolve that initial, those initial symptoms which were caused by the root cause that you had just determined. And so we'll go through those steps. You know, again, you can see here we got links out to additional information. In this situation, you know, they were probably seeing some JVM fragmentation, and the recommendation is to go through the appropriate JVM tuning process by setting your P and your K clusters. So we can go ahead and give you those details and link you out to existing content that takes you through that process of physically tuning your JVM. So let's look at slide number 25. On slide number 25, after you've kind of determined what that solution is, you want to go ahead and validate it. So we take you through, if there's a specific process that you need to go through to validate that solution, we'll help you understand what that process is. And after you've gone through that, now we'll ask you to look for some of those initial symptoms. So let's look at slide number 26. After you've validated that, right, you want to make sure that the initial symptoms are no longer there. But you want to also be careful that you just aren't peeling back the onion. You've resolved one symptom, but it actually exposed some deeper symptoms. And if that is the case, then we take you back through that process again, only leveraging that new symptom that you're trying to troubleshoot. And once you've solved all of those symptoms, then we'll take you to a page where you can say, yes, I've completed my case. There are no more symptoms left. I want to go ahead and just save this for future reference or export it to someone else for, you know, so they can see what steps I went through to solve this problem, especially if you would see those symptoms at a later date. So let's look at slide number 27. How do you go about getting the IBM Guided Activity Assistant today? Let's look at slide 28. The process you want to go through to get the IBM Guided Activity Assistant is to first download the IBM Support Assistant. So let me take a little step back here and explain to you what this IBM Support Assistant is. This is a tool that's available through IBM, again, for free, that you can download, and you'll see the URL at the, just above the screenshot here. You can go ahead and download that tool, and it's a CLIPS-based tool. So you can leverage the updater to go ahead and look for new tools, and IGAA happens to be one of those tools. And it's an overall support assistant. So you can search multiple support sites with a single query. I kind of touched on that earlier as we looked at some of that phase one rediscovery types of things. You know, you can search for developer works or for APARs with tech notes and et cetera. And you can look through all of that information, and it'll aggregate that information for you and show it to you in one page. In addition, you can download what are called these product plugins or product add-ons, which provides information about specific IBM products, whether it be WebSphere Application Server or Rational ClearCase or Lotus or Information Management. All the different products in Tivoli are available for you to download, and what the product information provides are support links. These kind of tool or this product information is provided by the teams that work with those tools and develop those tools, and their recommended set of links that you should be aware of, whether it be support links, recommended fixes, what forums are available for that product. Other information like that is all available in that product information plugin. In addition, you know, what we've been talking about today primarily is being able to download and run these problem determination tools. Again, this is your one-stop shop to find these tools, download them. It's all installed just like using Eclipse like you would expect with this updater, and it's ready to go. and you can click on that and see the different sets of tools available to run. And IGAA interacts with those sets of tools that are available. Now, and if all of that doesn't help you and you're still experiencing a problem, well, we want to make that transition easy for you to help you open up a PMR, collect the appropriate data that will be asked for from support, and go ahead and initiate that communication with the IBM team. And so there's a service tab here that will help you go through that process. And like I mentioned earlier, lastly, we have the updater. So you can always make sure you have the latest version of these tools, the latest set of IGAA content, simply by going to that updater and doing a quick check to see if you've got that latest version. So let's look at slide number 29. So once you've downloaded the IBM Support Assistant, what is the exact process that you need to go through to get the IBM Guided Activity Assistant? To do that, you just simply click on the updater tab, or updater either menu item or kind of icon on that welcome page. And then you'll see a set of things there, whether it be features or upgrades or new products and tools. You want to click on that new products and tools. And then you'll see all the different brands and even things beyond the different brands within IBM. And so to get the WebSphere application server content, you'll expand the WebSphere kind of folder and go down to any of the WebSphere application server version X product plugins. Underneath that, you'll see the appropriate content for that version of WebSphere application server, and you can simply check the IGA content for WebSphere application server. And simply by clicking the content, you'll also pull down what we call the viewer, or the actual software that allows you to work through those workflows. So once you do that and download that, it will go ahead and install it, ask you to restart the IBM Support Assistant. After you've done that, now you can go ahead and launch IBM Guided Activity Assistant, and you'll see the tools. By clicking the Tools tab, select the appropriate product, any of the WebSphere application server products, and then clicking on the IBM Guided Activity Assistant link. So let's look at slide number 30. A summary from this whole presentation is this. The IBM Guided Activity Assistant is really there to guide you step-by-step through these troubleshooting tasks. It also provides troubleshooting information and what tools are available for you to use as you need them. So when is it appropriate? Help me understand that. Those are some of the things that we help you go through. In addition, we have this case management. So, again, helping you collect the appropriate files, taking notes, tracking the history, sharing cases, all of those kind of extraneous steps to help you through this troubleshooting process. And lastly, you know, we're always creating these new troubleshooting flows there. And this is a place where we really would like to see your feedback. Are we creating the right ones? Would you like to see different ones? Are the existing ones not meeting your needs? Are there new features in the IBM Guided Activity Assistant you'd like to see us do, you know, more of the case management, other types of scenarios you would like to see? Provide us that feedback, please. So let's look at slide number 31. On slide number 31, we have some more resources for you to look at. The first one there is a link to some tech notes that we have that gives you more information about the IBM Guided Activity Assistant, up-to-date news about it, frequently asked questions on our kind of support page out there, all additional information like that. There's a link to a viewlet out there. All that information is available and is being updated for you to see. In addition, we have a DeveloperWorks article which walks through a similar scenario but actually goes into more detail than what I did here. But it talks about the out-of-memory scenario and shows you kind of that phase one PD and filtering, you know, how to collect those files, adding notes, case widgets, launching the physical tools, MD for J and PMAT, and just gives you another option of seeing how that process works. The other thing we have here is the IBM Guided Activity Assistant introduction and tutorial on the IBM Education Assistant site. So there you'll see an introduction presentation, and you'll also see a viewlet tutorial that takes you through that process. Again, similar to the DeveloperWorks article, but in a viewlet format that has a little bit more detail in it and walks you through that process step by step. In addition to this, I would definitely recommend that you continue to watch the first link up there, as you'll see when we have new releases of the IBM Guided Activity Assistant coming out. And like I said, we released this 3.1 version in third quarter of last year. And within the end of first quarter, early second quarter, you're going to see a lot more things coming out. There's going to be a new version of the IBM Support Assistant in which the IBM Guided Activity Assistant is directly integrated with it. So, again, you don't even have to know that IGAA was a tool to download. It is just part of the IBM Support Assistant, and those workflows are available for you in that. In addition, we're going to have an AlphaWorks version or a hosted version to where you just simply need a browser and you can connect to it and work through some of these workflows. It's going to be a less rich experience than using the IBM Support Assistant where you can, you know, launch these extra tools and have all this additional case management, but it will still provide you an easy way to get access to these workflows, provide feedback. There is some level of case management, but not as rich of an experience as in IBM Support Assistant. So, and we've got some updated user interfaces, and again, are looking for your feedback on those things. So watch that space closely. It's right around the corner. We're ready to release that those pieces fairly shortly here. So let's look at slide number 32. Here's some additional WebSphere product resources that I definitely recommend you take a look at, whether it be the My Support emails or other webcasts and conferences and events. Check out these pieces along with the IBM Education Assistant. Some good information out there that's available for you to look at from a WebSphere product point of view. And let's look at slide 33. So that's all I had for this presentation. Let me hand it back over to Elijah.
Thanks, Dave, for a great presentation.
And we'll hear first from Jerry Carlin with Bank of America.
Hi, I'm trying to download the IBM Support Assistant, and there's two buttons. One that's basically this IBM Support Assistant electronic service agent, and the other one says for installing in console mode without a separate console window opening. I'm sure I could Google that or find out what that means somewhere else, but could you say what those two versions are?
Yeah, the one that includes the electronic service agent, so that's kind of like version 3.1, and there's also a 3.02 version. So 3.1, the main feature of that version update was the integration of a tool that's typically used with your iSeries computers and systems to remotely interact with those systems out there that have agents on them, et cetera. And so that's the primary feature of 3.1. So if you don't use that or don't need that functionality, you can simply download 3.02, and you'll still get all the same ISA functionality, so you don't have that integrated experience with the electronic service agents.
Actually, both of these were under the 3.1 menu.
Okay. And so for that 3.1, though, typically when it talks about – so the installer is usually this kind of GUI thing. So if you don't have capability, like it's a headless machine, and you still want to install that stuff out there on that machine, you can use that console.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yep.
As a reminder, that is star one if you have a question at this time. And we'll take a question from Hope Robke with AT&T.
Hi, I actually have the support assistant on my desktop, and I just did updates, and apparently IGAA came along for the ride, but I don't see anywhere in your presentation on how to get to it.
On how to get to the IBM support or IBM Guided Activity Assistant?
Yes. If you're in the support assistant, how do you get to IGAA?
Yeah, on slide, let me see exactly what number that was, but the process you want to go through is clicking on the tools link. And once you do that, then if you have the WebSphere Application Server product plugins installed, you can click on that hyperlink, and then you'll see a list of tools that are associated with that product, and IGAA is one of those tools. And just for the presentation reference, those were slides, let's see here, slide 29 shows you that process I just told you about.
I'm sorry, what slide was it?
29.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, that is star one to our audience if you'd like to ask a question at this time. And we'll take another question from Ray Manrique with Allstate.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the presentation.
You're welcome.
Wanted to ask you, it's more in the PD tools that I have a question on. It's the log analyzer tool.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to set up the remote agent controller, and I don't know if you can talk about it in this forum, but could you give a sort of a high-level overview of what that is supposed to do?
So typically what happens with the log analyzer, and that's a tool that we don't have any content for, but we're definitely working with that team to develop some of that. And but the log analyzer, just to give people some background, is a tool that is available through the IBM Support Assistant, and it's designed to allow you to look at the different logs that a product may generate and kind of correlate across them. So if you're in an environment where you have like an IHS HTTP server and Web3 application server and DB2 is your backend, you can take all that information, look at those logs, and correlate, here's where there was a problem, was it on one of those servers and where in that process was it, and just allows you to quickly analyze those logs and look at them. When it comes to the agent controller out there, though, what that's designed to do is to allow you to have these agents out on your different systems and then be able to connect to each of those without having to manually FTP or SCP or whatever your preferred tool is to use to pull those files locally. It's allowed to let you go and grab those files that way. Does that answer your question?
It does. Actually, right now I'm doing the FTP, and depending on how large the files are,
right,
it can be a little cumbersome. So if this helps out, then I'll definitely look into it. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, if that's a situation where you guys typically don't mind having agents out on your systems and you want a way to, have this troubleshooting process made easier, again, we've got some advanced features that are actually coming out in the ISO V4 version, like I said, which it will be late first quarter, early second quarter, so kind of watch that space. We've got some features in there to help you with those kind of remote file collections, too.
And we have another question from Ramji Chapedi with AT&T.
Hi. I have a quick question about specific tools. Do we have any specific tools related to Tivoli Access Manager or anything that helps to collect or analyze data from OS level?
Yeah, so from a Tivoli Access Manager point of view, I personally am not aware of any tools available through the IBM Support Assistant that can help you with that process. So I haven't recently checked, and you could go out and look to see if there's any tools under the Tivoli Access Manager part of the updater, but I'm not aware of any. When it comes to collecting information about the operating system, though, we do have some of that information. If you go into the IBM Support Assistant Service tab, there is this collector, it's called. And you can actually go ahead and run that, and there's a generic system collection, which will go out and query your system to see, what fix packs are installed or what information, additional information about your system. So if you want something that can quickly grab that information for you, you can go ahead and run that tool. But that's the only thing I know that will kind of help you analyze or gather information about the operating system itself.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
And we have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Dave, for presenting today.
Thank you.